Good morning. Welcome to the FTS Bet Slip on Wednesday, the 8th of December. Ramping up to Christmas. Let's deal with yesterday's pod first. Obviously, some great feedback. I knew there would be good feedback to that. I love doing it. I went to bed excited on Monday night. Didn't sleep great because I was excited, and I just loved talking to Peter yesterday. You know, as I said on it, we literally had 2 or 3 minutes beforehand. But he's just got one of those. He's got one of those voices that you like listening to. I could just talk to him all day long. I love talking to people about punting. You know, people who want to do it properly. I love that side of it. I love talking to Steve. I love talking to Andy. You know, the pods are very different where I talk to FTS members, because it's people trying to get to a level, and that's a journey that I like discussing with people as well. You know, they've all got merit. Talking to Neil was really interesting, but yeah, I'm pleased, really pleased to get Peter on it. I never thought for 1 minute he'd want to come on, as I say, to a sweary man's little podcast. And on that note, I've had some lovely messages, and I'm literally talking 1%. Or less than 1%. I did have one saying that I wasn't my true self and I was fawning to him. Grow up, honestly. Just grow. It's just pathetic, isn't it? There's certain... I am naturally somebody who swears a bit, this, that, but there's certain times when you don't have to, you don't need to, and that pod didn't require me to do anything other really than ask Peter questions and listen. And I've got nothing but respect for him. You know, I mentioned to him briefly before we came on the recording about I can't believe he gets stick. I understand why somebody like me gets stick, because I can be a Marmite character. I'm quite opinionated. I do swear a lot. I talk to you about all sorts of things. We're going to get on. We're going to be doing that today. There'll be a bit of swearing today when we get onto certain subjects. But that wasn't one of those instances. I've got nothing but respect for Peter. As someone I don't even know, but just watching how he does things and what he does, and the consistency of how he does it, and he's, I think all these people, Andy, Steve, me, Peter, I think we've all got a sort of common mindset approach to things that you guys can learn off. And yeah, I want to get him back on. I just think he's just one of those people that's just great to talk to. I talk a lot more to Andy Richmond. I didn't know Andy before the. We did the pod. Just love talking to him. Just love listening to how they go about things. I just think it's good. This, you know, I've said before. I've said it on Zooms with people. You know, I said it to had a chat with Lee about this. Lee Williams, that it's a lonely game. This at times you sit there, you know, and to get these moments where you can talk to people. I'm not going to go on there effing and blinding at Peter, going trying to play a stage show. It was. Let's do a pod. This is the topic that we want to discuss, which came from that question. And hopefully you guys benefit from it and you know, pick little snippets up, which, you know, Dylan sort of put it right. You're just sitting listening and picking little nuggets up. And yeah, and hopefully we can do it again. But yeah, no, it's good fun. I really enjoyed it. I love doing the pod all in. And it's just nice to get different people on for me. So that was the last guest pod of the year. Most likely, I may have one other special appearance before Christmas, but we'll see how that goes. So, yeah, anyway, as always, thank you for listening, guys. I think, as I say, I think 99.9% of people really enjoyed it, and it will be one that you should listen back to, I think, particularly that loss aversion and approach to risk. You know, I'm conscious that I always say to people, evaluate where you are, but I do think, you know, just again, reading the Telegram group, people need to take a step back and really have a look at what they're doing and what their approach is, what their setup is, what their loss aversion and attitude to risk is, and not do too much. I just see so many people doing far too much. I just look at them and think, why are you doing so much? Why do you just keep doing and banging away doing so much? Why are you watching every result, living every day? Just really have a look at it. And I accept that at times that's, oh, he's telling us to start again. If you're doing it wrong, then you've got to start again. And we're going to lead into something else where something's going wrong and it needs to be stopped and start again. But there we go. Right, let's do FTS Advent. As I had a... I had a Zoom with a guy last night, just before I move on to that. I had a Zoom with a guy last night, Never met him before. Don't know him from Adam. Only know him from emails and a couple of Telegram messages. And to be fair, he sent me this email ages ago, and it's my fault. He'd done quite a sort of in-depth spreadsheet, and I got four or five people who'd done that, and I put them in a folder, and life moved on, and you know, we had the thing. So I hadn't got back to him. And then I sort of, a couple of weeks ago, I looked at this spreadsheet. I thought, well, I need to tidy all this up. I had a look at it. And I ended up, from that, having a Zoom with him last night. And the only reason I had a Zoom with him, he's put a load of effort in. And he's done it really well. And that's what I like to see. And then I get excited. I think, actually, this guy's actually working a way I can help him here. And that's the sort of approach that I have with people when I talk about helping people. And then I had a Zoom with Andy. And Andy, we have got this FTS advent. That leads in, because Andy and I are going to do something for the NFL playoffs for you after Christmas. We're going to do something together. Andy does a lot of prop bets and things, so we're going to put something together for the NFL playoffs, which start mid-January through to the Super Bowl in mid-February, doing every single game. So I'll have details of that either in the run-up to Christmas or just after Christmas. But we just sort of have a catch-up now, and we were talking about different things. He wants to learn a bit more about the football. I want to learn and understand a bit more about the way he works and the mindset and approach to that. So we sort of got into these Zooms, end up talking about NFL. He's a big Green Bay Packers fan. I'm a big 49ers fan. And I said, I'm going to put an NFL question up, Andy, that everyone else can Google. He's not allowed to. He's got to dig deep into his brain. If he gets it, fair play to him. The yesterday was, what was Betfair's first ever market? I'm getting tough. I'm giving away my money here. And nobody's backing winners at the minute, by the way. So I'm giving away my money. I'm not just going to flipping make it easy. And I'm going to have strict firm rules, strict rules of golf, Goldfinger. I asked the question, what was Betfair's first ever market? The correct answer is the Oaks. The Oaks 2000. Not Epsom Oaks, not Oaks. The Oaks, the race is called. There's no such thing as Epsom Oaks. That's Epsom Salts. There's no such thing as Epsom Oaks. I'm not just having... If you can't be bothered to answer correctly and put it right, you ain't getting in. Simple as that. Your name's not down. You're not coming in. So the answer was the Oaks in 2000, which is run at Epsom. And the winner was Stephen Goodwin, who is Miller Lad on Twitter. Again, Stephen, I think I recognise the name, but apologies if I do know you, but I can't recall it. Stephen Goodwin, Miller Lad, and Matt May 151084. Not heard from you, just letting you know you did win. If you can drop a bet into me, Stephen Goodwin, can you drop a bet into me sometime over the next 7 days? You have got a £35 free bet. Today we're paying for £40 going up, seeing the different names. Even Suggsy had a go the other day. You can tell his levels, can't you? See, he didn't come out for the fives and tenners. He said he didn't know the answers. There was a golf question in there. Oh, let's get on to that. Going back to that, let's just do this and then we'll get back to that, Suggsy. Yes, we'll get back to that, son. So, the question today, playing for £40, it is one that I expect most people will have to Google. That's no problem at all. It's not the idea is just to put some money up, have a bit of fun and get people going. But Andy Richmond, you cannot use Google. And I'm going to see what time you answer as well. I'm going to see, because I know you'll listen to this early. I'm going to see how long it takes you to answer. For £40, name the defence. I'm not a TV host then, will I? For £40... Name the defensive end who knocked Joe Montana out of the 1990 NFC Championship game. Name the defensive end who knocked Joe Montana out of the 1990 NFC Championship game. I can remember it now. I can picture the play, Andy. So let's see if you've get that. And that is for £40. Usual rules. Hashtag FTS Advent. Date. And the correct answer, the full answer, not just Oaks, Epsom Oaks. Let's have the guy's name, no surname, full name of defensive end who knocked Joe Montana out of the 1990 championship game. Somebody asked me to do Christmas dinner again. I've done it for 2 years. Can't we go back and find those pods and listen to them? I know I'm excellent. I know I'm like the Raymond Blanc of pods, betting pods, but if you want me to do it, I'll do it. I will do a Christmas dinner comp. I'm doing it this year. I've got my brother and that co coming this year, so I will be cooking. But I will do the Christmas dinner comp because I enjoy that. I like seeing your fears and I like seeing Sam's little eyes light up looking at them, marking it. But you don't need me to tell you how to cook it all, do you? Brining the turkey is one of the most key things. Anybody not brining their turkey, you've got no chance. But Suggsy, yeah, Peter and I, obviously, we discussed golf yesterday. It is an element I've moved into. I've got two methods that work really well for me this year. Sourcing players pre-match to trade and then looking after round one. And the round one stuff I might start sharing when the golf starts back next year. I think it's a really good angle and you get some good edge with it. So when the golf starts back in January, I might have a look at sharing some of that in the Telegram. But I've had a long-standing debate with Suggsy about what is the best major of the year. It is the Open by far. It's the Open, you know. Peter and I discussed golf trading yesterday. The Masters at the same course every year. It's a club championship. That's what it is. You've still got people like Larry Myers banging it round. I get the buzz around it. Beautiful golf course. I'm not decrying the golf course. It comes. We're looking out the window now. You know, dank grey, miserable weather, storm flipping Arwen, storm Barra, and you get this sudden splash of green and flowers and things in early April that sort of signifies spring over, the golf season starting. Get it fully. It still doesn't. It pales into comparison to watching the Open. The Open is the ultimate golf tournament, but the best by far. It's not even a contest. It's the best by far. And Suggsy went on and asked Peter last night. He said to me, you forgot to ask Peter a question. And he typed out a thing to Peter saying, Peter, you talked about golf. What's your best major? And Peter, he cottoned on quickly. He said, I take it there's something, some undercurrent going on here, but the Masters for trading, which I fully understand because it is around the same course every year. You can know the course, exactly what we talked about yesterday, but for the Open watching, bash, boom, bosh, Suggsy got you. But Suggsy then tried to claim the win. He rather than hold his hands up because it's all gone horribly wrong for him, he's tried to claim the win. He's basically gone on Twitter, accused Peter of sitting on the fence and said, oh, we're both winners then. And he's done exactly the same in the WhatsApp group that he's got with a few of us, trying to claim the win. Suggsy, give it up, son. You're pathetic, honestly. You're pathetic. We will pick this up when we're out for Christmas drinks. It is the Open. Peter, see, that's why I like him. Vindicated the decision without a doubt. The rest of you can take your club championship, shove it up your arse. I get why people watch it, but it pales into nothingness compared to the Open Championship. Cricket went well, didn't it? Rory Burns, fucking hell. Honestly, all the excitement build up to it and first ball, dreadful, terrible. Rory Burns, 6 ducks he's had. Absolutely useless. Obviously, I'm an expert on cricket because I've been a few times now. But I like the Ashes, but yeah, we're just garbage, aren't we? We are just, this top end of batsmen just seem to be absolute garbage. What else have we got? I don't like to tell, I'm going to get the ump now. I can't help myself getting the ump. I don't like to tell you that I've told you so. But I told you so. If you go back to the pods of 2019, and I'm going to go on the same, again, Peter and I discussed, you can argue with people, but you're never going to change their mind. But if any of you are still supporting this fucking blonde, fucking whack job, cunt face, tosspot that is our Prime Minister, genuinely, you've got something wrong with you. It's just disgusting. I've got an 80-plus-year-old woman that I know that 6 months last year didn't go out of her house and didn't see anybody. And as a result of getting into that, she now doesn't go out of the house. She's got so scared that she doesn't leave her house. And the majority of us, and I understand there's loads of disinformation, there's loads of different views on COVID, there's loads of whack job theories. You've got people like fucking Piers Corbyn running up and down tubes singing nonsensical bollocks about wearing masks is like farting. It's pathetic, really. You've got people tweeting WHO pictures from the WHO website saying Omicron's been around since October 2020. It literally takes you 30 seconds to go on the WHO website, find the exact page and show you that it's 2021 and they've doctored the screenshot. You've got the, you know, eternal arguing about masks and whether they do any good or whatever. And you're never going to change these fucking whack jobs and their different opinions and this, that and the other. I fully understand that, and it's all too easy these days, and you kind of back off out of it. What you can do is look at it with a sort of sensible, what I think sensible attitude. It is a illness, it's killing people, cancer kills people, all these things do, but this is something we can all do little bits to help, you know, not mingling, wearing masks, which has been proven to help irrespective of what people say. And if you want to have that argument with me, meet me in a pub in London and we'll get all the papers out and go over it rather than the bollocks that people spout. Social distancing helps, all these things. So we can all play a part in stopping this thing spreading. And for the most part, we have. I think we've been a fairly compliant society. As I say, you're always going to be split with these things. It's gone on a long time. I understand the tiredness of it. But these people asking us to do this, they're just fucking laughing. They're just laughing and taking the fucking piss. He is a fucking despicable cunt, and I told you it in 2019. And the people who vote for him and still would vote for him, you've genuinely got something fucking wrong with you. You know, you look at the newspaper headlines, and only two newspapers haven't got this story, The Sun and The Telegraph, because they're fucking there, that's why. And if you're buying The Sun, you've got something wrong with you, and have had for fucking years. It's fucking shameful what we're living in. We've got a COVID package that where people are losing their businesses and being chased by banks and things, that's done $6.5 billion to fraud because of this way the system was set up. These are the people telling us what to do. And it's fucking disgusting. It's chronic. And everybody's first fucking goal should be, irrespective, and I keep saying this and I can't say it enough and I'm fucking sick of saying it, it's not a political thing. We need to get this cunt out, because he's not interested in anybody. He's interested in himself. He's a narcissistic fucking cunt, and he's surrounded himself with people of similar ilk. Rees-Mogg, Patel, that's what they are. They don't give a fuck about anybody. They're not doing anything for anybody. They're fucking horrible people. And the first job is get them out. And it might not like the way that goes, but it's a starting block we can build from and go from there. All the other political parties should just fucking join together at the minute, because that should be the first goal. Get this fucking cunt out and go from there. He is a fucking odious, hideous individual, and I told you it in 2019, and it isn't going to change, and it's all planned and staged. The mask he didn't wear in that hospital, planned and staged to move the story on from Owen Paterson. You're fucking stupid if you think anything else. The Peppa Pig fucking farce. He's not that fucking daft. He does it on purpose to move the story. Within a couple of days, we will have some other fucking ludicrous nonsense to move the story on from this. It's time to stop letting this fucking fuckpot get away with it. It really is. And I told you all in 2019 where we were going. He got voted in on a slogan. He had no fucking interest in it whatsoever. You think he did because he was in your camp, and that's unfortunately the world we live in. He is a fucking disgusting, and you should be fucking looking at yourself. I've written to my MP every week now for the last 5 weeks. Every single week I've written to her, 2-3-4 page email telling her exactly what I think, and you get bollocks back. Bollocks. And I've told her that she's not fit for purpose. I've told her she's morally bankrupt. They're all fucking morally bankrupt. They're fucking horrific people. And that last night, you look at people last year, our Christmas was fucked. You take it, you know, look at your personal situation. But old people, people in hospital, just fucking horrendous. People who watching their, couldn't see their parents. People who lost people, who couldn't go and see them and say goodbye. And they're sitting at a fucking thing laughing and joking about it. It's fucking disgusting what's going on with these people. It's disgusting. Fucking man up and fucking write to your MPs and let's do something about it. It's fucking horrific, honestly. It absolutely breaks my fucking heart what is going on. You know, I told you the far right's rising. People like Farage and that. You can have your GB. Now, you can sit and watch and indoctrinate yourself with all the bollocks. We're talking about being good people. We're talking about people sitting on their own and fucking dying. And yes, we can have the what about tree, what about cancer, and it all needs sorting out. I'm not saying it doesn't, but this is something we can actually start fucking doing fairly quickly. I can't solve cancer. We need lots of things to start solving cancer. Start with, I told you again years ago, the fucking obeseness in this country. And we need full education programs and things to start around that. There's loads to be done. I don't dispute that. But stop the fucking what about and what about and what about. Let's fucking deal with what's in front of us. This Omicron thing, it is going to scale up. It's going to be massive infections. We don't know where it's going to lead. And we can control that. The point is now they're going to start asking us to behave differently. They already have. Wear masks when you go on trains. Wear masks when you go on trains. They're going to start asking us to do things. And we don't know the scale of that, whether it will be. You can't go out. Talking of everybody now working from home, all these things. They're going to start asking us, and they couldn't give a fuck what they do. He fucking doesn't give a fuck. It's fucking horrendous. It's horrific. It's fucking heartbreaking. Honestly, it is. And if you're still supporting him, nobody ever has yet, not one person. Fucking tell me why. Tell me what it is about him that is so fucking endearing that you want to stand up and say, that's the man I want. I'd love to know, other than he might fucking agree with your view on immigration or Brexit, which he fucking doesn't, by the way. He absolutely 100% doesn't. He says what he fucking wants to say to move it along. He manages by fucking headlines. That's what he does. He's a fucking cunt. Right, that's that dealt with. I had to say that because it's fucking been bubbling up in me all night. The cricket on, bit of that, and fucking reading that bollocks. And I know a lot of these things are blown out, but you got Rees-Mogg at that other fucking do, giving it one all. We're not going to get investigated in a year. We're 2 inches apart. As if it's all fucking funny. There's people fucking dying. Fucking people on FTS who've lost people. It's fucking disgusting. It's just fucking horrific, honestly. So there you go. You wanted a sweary pod. Pete didn't get one because Pete's an absolute good guy. Boris, you fucking wanker clown that you want to masturbate over, you fuck off, you're welcome to him. I will be doing all I fucking can to get that cunt out, I can tell you. And I told you fucking years ago, and I will always be proved right where he's concerned. Right, that's that. What have we got? Anything else? No, it's a Wednesday. Champions League, nothing to do. Nothing to see here for us. Spurs have got COVID. Hopefully we get... the Brighton game called off. Don't really want to break our momentum for world domination with losing 6 or 7 players. They haven't said who they are yet, but we'll see. And on that note, have a lovely Wednesday. I'll be back. It'll be a very brief one tomorrow as I'm out all day tomorrow. So it will be a very brief one from me. And then Friday, obviously, we're back with the football. Hopefully, Tottenham-Brighton or Brighton-Tottenham gets postponed. I'd just like to stack these games up because if we can get them into January when we've bought a few new players, I think the title's in the bag. Right, the old Villa fans will be coming at me now. I love them. I love them. Love you all. Have a lovely day. I realise I've probably lost a few Boris fans, but... what could I say? Welcome to the FTS bit slip where I talk about Boris the fucking cunt, basically. right, have a lovely Wednesday. I'll be back with you very quickly for just the question tomorrow. Today's question, which defensive end took Joe Montana out of the 1990 NFC Championship game, playing for £40, Andy Richmond. No Google, son. I wish I could disable your Google. And everyone else, I'll be back tomorrow. And if those guys who haven't had their bets can send them in to me so I can get them on. It'd be nice to get some winnings in the kicker, wouldn't it? It'd be nice to get some winnings and be able to send them out before Christmas. I'll be back with you tomorrow morning.